Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the final qualifier round recording. I have my Dr. Pepper here ready to go. I'm going to take a delicious sip of it, set it back down, and get down to business. So, I want to tell you how this is going to go. I'm going to go through the recording, you know, telling you all your critiques and all that gloriousness. Then, I'm going to give a list of the people who are in the playoffs, and I'm also going to name a playoff alternate. So I didn't really write this into the rules or anything, but I'm just going to kind of describe it right now. As we move through these top cut rounds of the playoffs, I'm going to select one person from the pool of people that missed out to serve as a playoff alternate. And this individual will be able to enter the round, not really as a participant, but just in case someone in that playoff round who is moving towards the championship happens to miss for whatever reason, the alternate will then take that person's place. My reasoning for this is quite fucking simple. I never want there to be a situation where the GGW champion is crowned because the other person didn't show up. And this almost happened in the first GGW. In fact, Alpha was like 5 minutes late in getting his piece in, and everyone was sitting online wondering if he just wouldn't show up. So that's what the alternate is there for. The other thing I want to state is that from now until the end of GGW 6 and the AGWL season, people who are not in contention for the Prism aren't in the playoffs, or just so happen to not be that playoff alternate, really can't submit pieces at this point. I'm always welcoming newcomers and all that, but at this juncture, it just doesn't make any sense. The time frame for these playoff rounds is shorter than the qualifiers, so it's definitely going to be a high-pressure situation, and quite frankly, I want to get my results out quickly, so I don't want to be burdened with entries that really don't have anything to do with winning the Prism or winning GGW 6. And that's where I'm coming from there. So, I'm going to turn my attention to the Word file, probably take sips of Dr. Pepper, and let's get this on. Siracious, you're up first. All right, honestly, I have to say that the first two paragraphs, in fact, the whole first section just made me want to stop. I actually stopped reading to write that comment. Comma use here was horrendous. Way, way, way too much packed into one run-on. I'm not even going to add the word sentence because, quite frankly, it just doesn't deserve to be called that. The truly sad thing is that I think the message here was a good one, but I almost had an aneurysm trying to follow your execution. Once upon a time, back in the day, I wrote a story like this and quickly learned that you have to weave enough to keep the reader interested. I force myself to the end. So I see your final message, and I get why you did it. I get why you set the piece up the way you did. The problem, though, is there wasn't enough along the way to keep me on the path. And if there's not enough to keep me on the path, other readers are going to have a hard time, too. Honestly, if this hadn't been a contest piece, I would have stopped in the first section because I just didn't have any interest to keep going. I had to force myself through, and that's never a good sign. So, I think you need to go back through this and work developing the hook into something inviting and interesting. And I definitely think you have to do a better job at weaving those separate sections together. You don't have to give it all away. You don't have to show all your cards up front. But there has to be at least something to move through those sections that says, okay, I have a vague feeling what's going on here. Because I was just like, what the fuck? Like, that was my thing. I hit, like, the whole, like, in the bathroom changing, and I was like, is this really what's happening? So I think you need to do a little bit better job at weaving the sections together. But, you know, that's my opinion. I feel like, hey, if you do this, it'll make the piece a whole lot better and much more inviting to readers. Utara. There are a lot of grammatical problems here. A lot. And I'm just afraid that this is going to hurt you. On the plus side, you really put together quite an entertaining plot. And it left me wondering what's over the horizon. My biggest complaint with the plot itself is that I found the beginning a bit drawn out. You really repeated his feelings and temper over and over and over again. And by the fourth time, I was kind of like, okay, please get to the fucking point now. In addition, considering the scene, it was pretty damn typical. You know, I didn't experience anything new. Considering the situation, you didn't really write anything outside the bounds of what I would expect. However, entertainment value is keeping you hanging around, but this piece needs a lot of attention. Dreamy. This one I found very interesting. Your descriptions, particularly in the first paragraph, are wonderful. However, I found some of your lines to just be downright awkward. A couple didn't read very well in my opinion, which is just too bad. You did manage to pack quite a lot into 100 words, but the problem that I have with the drabble is that they just don't pack the entertainment value that other pieces can bring to my plate. I'm forced to attempt to read this as poetry to hunt down those pesky EV points, which is an extremely risky endeavor. Thankfully, I think you banked imagery here, and that really helped you kind of get those few points that you desperately needed. Eris. There are some typical grammatical things in this, fragments and whatnot, but I absolutely fucking love the way you wrote this piece. There's an air of improbability that cannot be denied, and usually I can harp on that for days on end, but I feel as though that was conquered with your execution, especially the ending, which I completely adore as it doesn't embrace the fully sappy suck that it could have done. Instead, you took the philosophical high road, and more importantly, your total smut had purpose. She evolved as a person. Big plus. Long story short, you've given me a lot to think about this round. Yumi, we have some issues here, and by some, I mean a lot. I seem to be making this comment like every year at least once, so I'm sorry you're just the victim of GGW6. To put it bluntly, I'm not sure you attempted to edit this piece yourself, which is just bullshit and not true because I saw you repost it twice. But still, let me explain. I feel like you relied way too heavily on PK's suggestions and missed an absolute ton of shit crap in this piece. Those things, never the responsibility of PK, or anyone else in the thread for that matter. They're yours. There's spelling errors in here. Still, even after you edited it twice yourself, still, F7, problem solved. A few cases of word confusion, wrong punctuation, and plot problems. For starters, I hate how you introduced the knights. I'm sorry, but it just came out of left field and had a weak sauce description to boot. It could have been done a lot better. There are some singular plural problems in here too. Let me just put it to like this. The first chapter of this story carried a particular aura of mystique about it that provided something exciting. This, on the other hand, it was just hard to get through. It needs a bunch of work, and the plot wasn't really... It just wasn't as good as your first chapter. And that's not really a good thing, especially when you're trying to assemble a longer piece. If your second chapter isn't as good as your first, why are people going to keep reading? The answer is, they're not. Elfie Keo. I'm always a fan of musical stylings, but this piece is in need of a lot of work. For starters, you absolutely destroyed the rhythm and flow to save a rhyme scheme, which I always hate. Just always. Things don't have to always rhyme, and you really just toss the lines under the bus to preserve it. Consider the fourth line, for instance. It doesn't fit the beat at all. It's just off and creates a huge distraction for no reason. There's no impact there, which if there was, I could maybe see it as a saving grace. And that's not the only place this happens. You really need to make sure you're reading this aloud to sync the words to the rhythm in order to see where it falters. Also, I'm going to give a little hit to you on word choice here. White lines on hair like afro? What the hell does that even mean? It gives no sense of imagery and doesn't add to the work at all. In addition, the use of O and O Lord really weren't necessary. Once again, you've provided fluff. It's filler, plain and simple. On the plus side, I fucking loved Captain Clef. That was just perfect. TLM. Lols. As usual, there are a few grammatical things, you know, going down in this that I think could be tweaked. But you have given me such a great prose piece here. I found it incredibly entertaining. My biggest complaint is that the beginning was super predictable. I love how you mocked it, though. But even the whole dragon-princess process was really telegraphed. I just knew it was coming. Ivy. There's still a few errors in here that need to be worked out. Perhaps they will be, but only time will tell. The ending, in my opinion, is way better than the start, which was kind of drawn out. And there is a lot of style repetition, which just makes the piece seem a little stale. One thing that I love, though, was how this piece rose from the ashes of predictable into something just downright ballsy. It was a gutsy play, and it worked. You turn something from, this is exactly what I'd expect, into, wow, balls deep. And that just doesn't happen all that often. PK. This was awesome and weird all at once. At first, I was going to complain that the romance in this shit was so mother effing cheesy. But then you do that thing that only you seem to do, which is you seeded the little, did they send her in to do this crap? And that just added a whole new dimension to the work, which made me go, ah, I get it now. That laugh sounded like a sheep. I'm gonna take a sip of Dr. Pepper. There's nothing you can do about it. You just have to wait all that longer to get to the prompt. There are a few typos in here, which kinda suck. But at the end of it all, you gave me a piece that made me ask for more and was extremely entertaining. You're going into the playoffs with a shit ton of momentum, and I'll be interested to see where you're taking it. Lewis, welcome back. Now prepare to be mindfucked. The first thing I have to say, while it's fresh in my mind, is that I found the whole music thing to be fairly pointless, which is sad because I typically love it. You set it up as a bookend, kind of, and didn't really do that much else with it. I'm happy to see that you've finally gotten out of the habit of adding big words for the sake of big words, but why embrace a fragment of a big idea if you're not going to follow it through? For example, you could have taken that stanza about fragments of light and hot dimensions and turned it into something about tempo, timbre, or rhythm, or harmony to really drive the musical point home. I also don't particularly think your though line added anything to the piece. Nothing was certainly better, but it may have been a bit more stylistic to just drop some white space there to give something to think about. It's definitely good to see that you've broken out of the monotony of form after form after form. Definitely refreshing. Solar. I find the content of this piece to bring many lols to my Lawler skate park. And the fact that you have so much Brit spelling in this makes it even better. I did find that some of your rhyme scheme is in need of improvement, though. The opening stanza just doesn't seem to have the same flow that the others do. I think the break at writing and maneuvers is responsible for this. That's my guess. And other than that, I think you could have brought a little bit more bite had you wanted to. You know, I'm all for slitting the throat. Oh, yeah. 30. I'm a mixed bag of nuts on this one. Your imagery here is solid, and the content carries a different kind of grit that is certainly interesting. Some of your structure seems really awkward to me, though. Many stanzas establish a rhyme scheme in my brain based on the syllables, break it, and then tack on an awkward fifth line. I think you need to take a little bit more care when it comes to your wording. You have fingers ending two of the lines in the first stanza, and it just came off as a bit repetitive for the hook. Also, you need to make sure that you still use rewind sound. Also, you need to make sure that you still keep the clausal commas where they need to be, as the time I needed to double check took away from being enveloped by the work, and we all know that I love envelopes and violating them. You know, have I said violate the envelope at all in this GGW? I don't think I have. That's really sad. Remember, people, I expect you all to violate the envelope. I actually think that's the end of the list. So, time to go to the Excel file. Oh, we're moving up in the world here, aren't we? So, here's the breakdown of who is going to the playoffs. Your six qualifier winners are, in no particular order, PK, the Love Mutt, Eris, Solar, Yumi, and Orgasmic Cough Drop. I think I got that right. Utora, you have banked the wild card. And now, some more mystical news that some of you may have missed. PK won the total qual score slot. But because PK is PK and she likes competition, she opened this up to another person. So, Dreamy, I've decided, based on your scores in this competition, that you will be given that final eighth slot. This one doesn't come with a prize. PK still earned the prize associated with her crazy qualifier total score. But I hope you'll appreciate the chance in the playoffs. Now then, more dramatic news. Round six was actually really hard for me. A lot of you guys have no idea actually how crazy this is. Let me just put it to you this way. In round five, amongst the people going to the playoffs, you guys were separated by a point. And I feel oftentimes what happens is that someone may miss out on the playoffs literally by a tenth of a point. Or they may miss out on the playoffs just because the tiebreaker happens to fall that way. Which is kind of what I feel is setting my decision for the playoff alternate slot. And in this case, that playoff alternate slot goes to Ivy. She almost won this round. Extremely close. It really just came down to me sitting and thinking about it and deciding what to do. But I definitely feel like that alternate slot should be there. Ivy has earned it, and so that's how it's going to roll down. So as I mentioned, really only the people in the playoffs and those still eligible for the Prism will have entries read from here until the end of the season. If you're in the playoffs, you know you're in the playoffs. If you don't know whether you're still eligible for the Prism, go look on the league standings of the AGWC page. If you're still listed there, it means you're still in the running mathematically. If you disappear off the list, it means that you're done. But, of course, if you submit a piece, I'll probably tell you that you're no longer eligible if you're no longer eligible. Because I'm awesome like that. Now, as you all know, the playoffs are prompts. Yes, all of them are prompts. And all of them are crazy prompts. I want to also point out, before I get into the prompt, please be sure to keep an eye on the schedule. The playoff rounds don't follow the same duration that the qual rounds do. In fact, the last two rounds of this contest are like a week long, maybe 10 days. I don't know. I kind of tuned it to Saturday, I think. But the list is there. The schedule list is in the thread. So just make sure that you're on top of your deadlines because they're going to come up really fast. But quite honestly, there's no reason to have playoff rounds last like 3 weeks. Most people get their shit done fast and then just want their results. Which, I will add this, if people lock in their final pieces before the deadline, I'll probably just call the round. But we'll see how it goes. Maybe not for the first one, because there's still a lot of, you know, GGW, AGWL separation. But obviously, I think as we move through the playoffs, that's going to kind of whittle down and the same groups will be in contention for both things. Anyway. On to the prompts. So, round one. Are you ready for it? Here it comes. Here it comes, Script Kiddies. A day in the life of your favorite cartoon. I feel this is a prompt that everyone can get into. Come on. Who hasn't sat for endless hours thinking how cool as hell it would be to be one of your favorite heroes? Or how ballsy it would be to step inside that universe? So, bitches, the task for you this round is to put together a piece that emphasizes what would go down if you had a day in the life of your favorite cartoon. Are you ready? I'm gonna get a nice, good Dr. Pepper swig before I pull this shit out of my bag of tricks. 23 flavors, my ass. According to Pib Extra, it's spicy wild cherry pop. But in the meantime, get the hell off my audio file, you goddamn hippies.